So today, we want to continue in this series on thanking through it, because let me tell you, I couldn't think my way out of this one, no matter how hard I tried. Thanking through it with praise. And what does that mean? And so I want to invite you to read with me all of Psalm 100. Some of you know there are some long psalms and some short psalms. This one's only 5 verses. Everybody relax. We're not reading 119, so we're good. But let's read together Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Now, I told you guys that this was going to be not just like a series that was all just emotional, feel good, happy, like just put your smile on, right? That we were going to actually get some solid practical teaching on how we go about giving thanks in all things, how we go about thanking through it, because it's countercultural. It's counter to our personalities. It's counter to kind of our way of wanting to control things and fix things. And today is no different. This is actually an instruction on the how-tos of praise and thanksgiving. It's a deep theological passage, though I'm happy to say we're not going to act like we're in theology class today. So, but it's a really deep passage. But the first thing I think I want you to know is it's titled A Psalm of Thanksgiving. It's the only psalm out of all 150 that have this title. Now, I want to say this to you because you look in your Bibles, and if you open your Bible anywhere but the Psalms, over the paragraphs, you'll see little, in most of your Bibles, you will see little phrases, little titles, whatever, and people put those there. They weren't in the original text, okay? You need to know that. The section of scriptures, okay, I said we weren't going to be in class. I'm going to teach you a little something. We're going to move on. But that little section's called a pericope. I don't know why. And the title over it is man-made. Like, we added that to give it some oomph. What is it? Not so with the Psalms. The Psalms were songs that were written, songs of lament, songs of praise, songs of thanksgiving, songs of fear, songs of all the emotions that we have. These were songs that were written, and most of them have titles. So when you see a title in a psalm, that is actually the title that it was given when it was written however many thousand years ago, because there's a span there. And so this is a psalm of thanksgiving. It's a formal call to worship. And what this made me think of was, well, first they thought it was what was chanted as they were going into the temple, that the people would sing this as they came up to the temple gates, as they came up the stairs, steps to the temple, that together they would sing this praise. There would actually be a formal chorus that would sing this. And go back to your high school football games. Did y'all have a fight song? Yes. Like, remember the fight song as the football team came in and you went on? As a native-born Washingtonian, you know, we have Hail to the... I don't know what the new one is. I stopped watching, quite frankly, but it was Hail to the Redskins. I don't know what the new fight song is, but you've got that just song that resonates as you go in. And that's what this was, is the people came into the gates day after day and week after week. Shout to joy for the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with thanksgiving. They did this together. And it goes on to explain to us how. So we read this psalm. I want to break it down a little bit, verse by verse. Luckily, there's only 5. We're good, right? Amen, church. If y'all know amen louder than that, I'm going to turn to Psalm 119. It's 4 pages in my Bible. Okay. Amen. There you go. Way to go, Leonard. Psalm 100, verse 1 says, shout to the Lord, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Shout with joy. Wow. So did I mention my vision was blurry? I'm going to do this. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Shout for joy. Shout. And we're like, we don't shout in church. That's not proper. It says shout. And it's indicative of when people came into the presence of their king, or when the king came into town victorious after battle. The whole crowd would raise up a shout. Think of when Princess Diana and Prince Charles got married, and the first time they appeared out on that balcony, and the whole of England and all of us that were alive at that time around our televisions shouted with praise, like shouted with joy. That's what this is talking about. It's the same word that's entered in Joshua 6 when it says, shout to the Lord, for he has given you this city. As they're marching, getting ready to march around Jericho, when they're finally done, start marching, and he says, shout, shout to the Lord. That's what this means. In 1 Samuel, Israel is facing the Philistine army. They're in battle, and it's not looking good. And so the army calls for the Ark of the Covenant to be brought into the camp, into the army's camp. And it says that when the Ark came into the camp, all Israel shouted so much that the whole earth shook. Shout with joy to the Lord. In Ezra chapter 3, when the temple was rebuilt, the people gave a shout of praise that was joyful. You say, well, Pastor Jen, I mean, I know it's a kingdom, but we're not in England, and nobody really likes Charles anyway. It's a bad example, and, you know, nobody shouts anymore. I have been to some of y'all's kids' games. We have been to some great concerts. I have watched you all watch a football game. Ricky, I know you got that fancy truck, but I'm going to tell you, until you watch a game with Fran Smith, who happens to be upstairs in Bridge Kids right now, and hear her shout, you got nothing on that little Spitfire, I am telling you. Shout with joy to the Lord. And it says all the earth. Now we kind of blow past that in our day, in our time. Like we're like, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Awesome, God is for everyone, we know that. He's talking to Israel, who thought they were so exclusive. And it says shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Inclusivity, all the earth, worship God, all the earth, shout with joy, not for any one person or one time, but all the earth, give a shout of praise, because God is for you. We'll get to more of that. Can I tell you? I have been on two kinds of antibiotics for the last 72 hours, four medications. I am so yucky inside. There's nothing in my physicality that wants to shout with joy. But when I lean into my spirit, when I bring that sacrifice and he brings the fire, some of us got to get our properness out of the way. Some of us got to get our circumstance out of the way. And like Pastor Jessica said, it's the eternal perspective. It's the eternal perspective that lets us, no matter what, shout with joy to the Lord, for he is good. He is good. He is good. He is good. Verse 2 goes on, worship the Lord with gladness. Okay, I want to put this up here. I am not being sacrilegious. I promise you, we are not being heretical here. So worship, I had Jeremiah type in the word serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Okay, if you're in the NIV and one or, well, I think there were three translations, three mainstream translations that said worship. The verb does include worship, but the actual Hebrew verb is to serve. And Shawnee, you beat me to the punchline with Romans 12:1. It's right here in my notes. And that's the concept in this serving. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That is your true and proper worship. So when this passage says, worship the Lord with gladness, come before him with joyful songs, serve him with gladness, serve him with, it's the same verb, joy, serve him with joy, come before him with songs of worship. Worship is included, but it is not exclusionary. Serve him. How are you serving God? What way has God given you to serve him? Yes, come in with joyful songs. Yes, whether you're in the room or in your living room, come in with joyful songs. But it also says, serve him with joy. Serve him with gladness. Can I tell you, God will still work through you when you serve him like a curmudgeon or an Eeyore. He will. If you think that's not true, look at Jonah. Jonah was like, I hate this. Even after he got spit up out of the great fish, he was like, God is your salvation. He basically is like, God is your salvation, and it's a good thing because I really wish you'd all go straight to hell. That's what he says. It's in there. And Nineveh was saved. Won't he do it? Nineveh was saved, but Jonah was robbed. Jonah threw away his opportunity to rejoice in what God was doing because he didn't come with a joyful heart. Martha and Mary. Mary is at the feet of Jesus. It's a whole women in ministry sermon in that, because that was the place for a disciple and women weren't allowed to be there except Jesus invited her there and defended her there. Separate sermon, separate day. Anyway, Mary was there at the feet of Jesus and Martha comes. Like, she's serving. She's doing all the things. And by the way, Jesus didn't correct her for doing all the things. He said, all you're doing is good, but this is better. And by the way, she came with a, my sister, she wasn't serving with joy. If she had been serving with joy, maybe she'd have got done faster. Maybe she'd have felt the prompt to take the pause to sit at the feet and let everybody get the dinner out when the lesson's done. And trust me, that's what happens at our house when stuff's happening. I'll be like, all hands on deck, let's go. We got to serve with joy because our happiness is circumstantial, but our joy comes from that eternal perspective that we talked about last week. More than that, we strive for happiness and we rest in joy. I got to tell y'all, when it's a cruddy week, you don't need to be striving for anything. Because you can strive all you want in the midst of a cruddy week and the happiness isn't going to happen. Testimony. But you rest in joy. You rest in joy. And then when it comes to the doing, First of all, God will do it. I'm not even trying to be silly. This morning, my eye was still all red and half closed, much better than it was when I walked, like in the transition from the house to here. And I'm not saying God will work that miraculously in every other way, but I was like, Lord, please, I don't want to preach with my eyes swollen shut. I will. He did it. Rest in joy. You say, well, okay, I'll serve joyfully. By the way, if you're not sure how to serve or where to plug in, we have a spot for you. That's what those one ads were all about last week. But then we get to that whole part of not just serve with gladness, but come before him with joyful songs. And you're like, well, Pastor Jen, I can't sing. Neither can I. We can sing off key together. It's fine. God made your voice. God made your voice and still not only in it commanded, but invited you to bring your voice to him, regardless of how it sounds. Make a joyful noise. See, it doesn't say make it all on key. That's what the worship team is for. Praise the Lord for them. I think here's what I want us to understand. Serving with a grumpy heart is an obligation and a chore, and it doesn't do much except make you grumpier. But when you can rest in joy and bring that to God and say, man, it's been a cruddy week, but here I am, God. Have it. Like, here I am. Thanks for letting me partner with you. It shifts your whole perspective. It shifts what's happening in your heart. It changes the lens from Eeyore back to Smurfette. I don't know. I didn't think through that example. It was off the cuff. But it changes the lens from sad to light. It changes the lens from dark to light. And it shifts what's happening inside of our hearts and spirits so that everything we encounter from that point forward looks better, feels better, tastes better, smells better. It's Jesus saying, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for it is light. Are we okay? Okay. Charles Spurgeon said, our happy God should be worshiped by a happy people. A cheerful spirit is in keeping with his nature, his acts, and the gratitude which we should cherish for his mercies. I'm gonna let that one sink in for a minute. Our happy God should be worshiped by happy people. A cheerful spirit is in keeping with his nature, with his acts, and the gratitude we should cherish for his mercies. So in these first two verses, what we learn is joyfully shout to him, joyfully serve him, joyfully come to him. How's your joyfully today? Oh. Joyfully shout to him. Joyfully serve him. Joyfully come to him. Psalm 103, or 100 verse 3, excuse me. Let me do this because the right eye is just not working. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. See, Psalms have a tendency to show a pattern. Here's what you do, and here's why you do it. See, we got told what to do, and now the psalmist is telling us why. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people. Know. That is not just a head knowledge. That's not just read a book. That is to know at our core, to understand, to realize, to acknowledge, and to be known. To know What do we need to know? Why are we worshiping? What do we need to know? We need to know that the Lord is God. We aren't worshiping an athlete that's going to fade away, a star that's going to fade away. We aren't worshiping a person. We sure aren't worshiping a pastor. We aren't worshiping things or people that fade. We are worshiping the Lord, for He is God. He is Creator. Can I tell you the question in this day that this was written wasn't, is there a God? This was a society that knew there was God. It was, who is God? It was a polytheistic world who was confused. They knew that the creation in front of them couldn't have come from themselves. They knew they couldn't be self-made. They knew that there was a higher being. The question was, who is it? And the Lord says, shout all the earth, for the Lord is God. He made us, and we are His. We can shout with joy because He's our Creator, and we belong to Him. We are not self-made. Thank goodness I can't make a cake turn out right. I can't imagine if I was responsible for creating a human being. Anybody else? I mean, I'm too much measuring. I don't know. He made us, and we are not self-made. Who's been to the Grand Canyon? Yeah. Who has seen the perfect full moon? Who has taken in a sunrise or a sunset or a view from an Alaskan cruise or wherever? Yeah. That you just stop? And there's something deep down that knows, that just knows, there's no way this is an accident. The Creator that painted that sky designed you. The Creator that spoke everything into being. The stars and the constellations, the planets, the awesomeness and beauty of existence and creation with intentionality and love designed, individually designed you. He made us and we are His. We belong. You ever walk into a room and know you don't belong there? Oh, y'all are some popular people. I have walked into plenty of rooms and know I don't belong there. There is nowhere on the planet, above the planet. You want to be an astronaut or go pay what's his name all the money to fly up there? Go for it. Make sure you're tithing. Go for it. Just saying. There is nowhere you can go, nowhere that you don't belong, because you belong to the one who created it all. Praise Him because, be joyful because we are the sheep of His pasture, which means He is our shepherds. Can I tell you that shepherds are not distant? Shepherds don't hang out way over here in the house while the sheep wander in the fields. Shepherds travel with the sheep. Shepherds make sacrifices for the sheep. A shepherd will lay down and sleep across the gate, the entrance to a sheep pen, so his sheep do not leave it in the middle of the night. The shepherd will go out and pursue the one while the 99 remain back. Shepherds are not distant. They are relational, they are intentional, and they are protective of their sheep. They are invested. God doesn't use the example that we're like a little fish in a school of fish, and He's just up above. Jesus is the good shepherd. He walks with us, talks with us, gets stinky with us. Sheep stink, and they're stubborn, and they're, well, not the smartest animals in the whole wide world. Thank you. Yeah, some for the online family. Jerry said, sounds like us. I didn't say, well, scripture said, so you're off the hook there, Jerry. Thanks for being brave enough to say what I was chickening out on. That's yep. The shepherds sleep, eat, and roam with the sheep because the sheep need the shepherd. I don't know about y'all, but there have been some times, and there will be times again, when I feel lost and hungry and tired, and I don't know which way to turn. And unbeknownst to me, I might be just dumb enough to step off the cliff without realizing it. And I can praise God joyfully because he is my good shepherd that covers me and protects me, that guides me and leads me. And when I need it, cracks me in the shin with his staff so I will heal too. So I don't get this. So I don't run off the cliff. See, I think sometimes we think that God cracks us in the shin with something just because he's mean. There's a cliff, and we don't see it, and we're ready to just dance right off of it and meet our end. And he will bring us to a little bit to save us, to protect us, to grow us, and to keep us. And when it all falls apart and I don't have the answers, I can rejoice because I have a good shepherd who knows every one of them and will guide me. I think the key verb in this verse 3 is to know. We can't think. We can't ponder. We got to know. We got to know that God is good. We got to know that he is God, that he made us and we are his, that he's there to shepherd us. He is God, he created us, and we belong. I feel just this prompt to linger there for a minute on the word we belong. I don't know if it's for someone in this room or if it's for someone online in our online family. But you belong. You belong. How about we read verse 4 together? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. There is a difference between thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving, toda, means to give thanks for what God has done. Tehila means to praise. That's praising God for his attributes, praising God for who he is. And if we're honest, there's a lot of places that say praise God, and at some point in our lives, the question crosses our mind, why does God need our praise? Why do we get all these commands to praise him? Like, if you come from this with the wrong attitude and read this, like, if we're honest, all these commands to praise God, does God sound a little narcissistic? Like, what's going on there? None of y'all ever wondered that as you wrestled with your faith. Nobody, all right, pastor's the only one. It's okay, I'll own it. Like, what is this? But see, that's stinking thinking. And as we mature, we realize it is not that God is in a position that he needs our praise. It is not a command as much as an invitation. Steve Deneff says, what if the one benefiting from the praise is the created, not the creator? Because the spirit of praise and thanksgiving changes who you are. It transforms your spirit and it keeps you in the eternal perspective of what is good. And somehow in our fall, Steve Deneff goes on to say, the enemy has taken what was meant to be given freely, which is praise, and twisted it into this thing that as humans we are constantly seeking and somehow jealous of when other people get it and we don't. Like, I don't know, and he doesn't say this, so we're done with Steve Deneff here, but like praise is some endangered species that's going to run out. Like if Gina's getting all the praise for how beautiful she sings the national anthem, whoop, whoop, she does, by the way. If you were at the Veterans Day ceremony, you would have heard her. So like somehow I'm threatened by that. Or like if my sister or my brother or my spouse or my coworker gets a bunch of praise, we're threatened by that. See, when we learn to praise God freely, we learn to praise other people freely, and we come into a right belief and a right understanding that praise doesn't run out. Praise multiplies upon itself. It's exponential. We praise him because he is God, because he made us. We don't praise God to get something from him. We praise him because we already have it. I want to go back to the last verse. We belong. We are chesed, which means cherished and loved. We are God's chesed. We are God's chosen. We belong. And I don't want you to miss this invitation, this open invitation. Remember, how did this start? A shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, everyone. Now there is this invitation to enter his gates with thanksgiving. Church, this is a charge. The world is our mission. The church is not exclusive, but inclusive. All the earth, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Y'all, this is a big deal. It doesn't seem like it when we're reading it because we don't live in this ancient culture of royalty and kings. But enter his courts is an open invitation to everyone. Do you know that if the king didn't give you an invitation, a personal invitation, and you entered his courts, if he did not extend his scepter to you, it was the death penalty? It was the death penalty. And the king of kings says to everyone, come on in. You belong. You are welcome. You matter. You are valued. Come into my court, God says. I don't have any restrictions. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to wait for me to lift my hand and point my scepter at you. I have already invited you. You are already chosen. Come on in. You belong and you are mine. And that was in the Old Testament, where it was the outer courts. The inner holy of holies was still reserved for the priest. And I just want to read this to you from Hebrews. Where are we? Chapter 10. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, the inner sanctuary where only the high priest could go only once a year, is now open to all the earth. Therefore, brothers and sisters, as believers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, a new and living way open for us through the curtain that is his body. The verse goes on, but you get the meaning, right? We get to enter and we get to toda. We get to give thanks for what God has done. Let's read together. I'm going to flip over to Psalm 105 real quick. We're just going to read verses 1 and 2 together. Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. See, we praise God for who he is, and we give thanks for what he has done. How are you doing at giving thanks? What has God done in your life lately? We were in the study Wednesday night, and one of the couples said, my wife thanks God for the cup of water and the water that's inside of it, and she thanks God for this and for that. You know what? We should. Do you know how much of the world doesn't have running water? Do you know how much of the world doesn't have a home, much less a vehicle, much less two vehicles? Like, we got all kinds of things to be thankful for, and those are just material things. Well, water's more than material. It's life-giving. But I mean, all, as we say around here, all the things, what do you have to be thankful for? And are you as quick to praise God and give thanks for the things to Todah as you are to complain about what you don't have? Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I can get caught up in the complaining. Christmas ads are getting ready to start. You better rehearse well giving thanks for what you have, because your kids, more is caught than taught. And if you don't want them to drive you absolutely crazy asking for every single thing under the sun, maybe it's time as a family to regularly practice giving thanks for what you have this day, this week, and not... And hear me, not just, thank you, God, for you saved me. Yes, he did. That's thanking God for who he is. I mean, thank God for what he has done. Thank you, God, that despite this raging infection in my face, I got better and I can be here to preach. Thank you, God, that I can see. Thank you, God, that I was able to go to the hospital and get medicine without paying for it. Thank you, God, that I was able to do these things. Thank you that I had people check on me, that I had people lead groups for me, that I had people take tasks for me. Thank you, God. Thank you. But if that's not my spirit, man, I had to cancel dinner with Mary. I had to cancel birthday coffee with Jessica. I had to cancel lunch with Cindy. Rick's out of town. I had some social things planned, y'all. Like, my husband's away at a family wedding I couldn't go to. I had girlfriend time planned. If I choose to focus on what I don't have instead of giving thanks for what I do have, then my whole spirit shifts and changes. That's why praise is as much or more for the created as it is for the creator. Attitude of gratitude. Absolutely. So that's my challenge this week. Like, we give thanks all the time. We go to a great restaurant, the new crêperie opens up and you go get a good breakfast and it's blowing up all over Facebook. How about we are as generous with God in thanking him as we are with others? I'm going to go back to a Steve Deneff quote. We've got to become as eloquent in our praise and our worship as we are in our lament. I'll let that sink in. So we are to joyfully do a bunch of things. We are to know things. We are to enter. We are to enter with thanksgiving and with praise. Psalm 100 verse 5 says, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever, ever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. We can do all of it. Once again, all generations, all the earth, all generations. God is inclusive. He is for everyone. He created everyone and invites everyone. Because God is good. Because God is loving. Because God is faithful forever and ever. Most of you, all of you know Karen Wagnon over here. Most of you know Chris. He's at New Life today, I think. But Chris tells a story of, I don't know if you know him, you may know, he spent months, how many months, Karen? 3 months in Haiti, like 2 weeks, a week, 10 days, I don't know. Really, right after the huge earthquake that happened, Chris was retiring and with a lot of grace. His wife was very supportive, and Chris went to go to Haiti to help. Like, the devastation in Haiti was unthinkable. The death toll, the buildings collapsed. It was awful. Chris was staying in a tent because it wasn't safe to stay in a building. And that song, oh my gosh, "Our God is greater, our God is higher, God, you're greater than any other." That song, I can't sing, so I'm not going to sing it for you. But Chris tells the story of getting there really like the week he got there, and it was still not safe for anybody to be in a building. And he talks about this Haitian congregation that gathered in a field. And he didn't know the words yet, but he knew the tune, so he knew the song they were singing. And in the midst of the devastation, for hours, they sang, "Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God." When life hits crisis, and it will, probably several times in your life, and I don't mean like a flat tire or a little car crash, I mean the earth stops. If you aren't practiced and disciplined in praise and thanksgiving and joyfully resting in his providence, then when the earth stops, you won't know what to do. But when you are, I had that moment. I had that phone call. And it was terrifying. The phone call I got was from my ex-husband. Caleb's been in an accident. They're life-flighting his best friend. They don't think he's going to make it. And if he dies, they're charging Caleb with vehicular manslaughter. He'll be in jail tonight. He was barely 17 years old. And I was 1,500 miles away. If I didn't trust God in the little things when I got to that moment, I had nothing. But because God is good and he is faithful and I had trusted him and I knew I had tested his character and found it to be true, then in that moment I could cry, I could call the pastors to pray, I could set Rick to getting an airline ticket, and I could go and just fall on the floor in my prayer room, because our God is greater and our God is stronger and our God is higher than any other. And I couldn't praise God for the circumstance, and I couldn't even think straight. But I could praise God because of who he is. And I could count on that. The bottom line today is that we praise with joyful thanksgiving because of who he is, because of what he has done, and because we are his. Because in that moment, my shepherd was not leaving my side, nor was he leaving Caleb's side, nor was he leaving Taylor's side. It all turned out okay, and praise God. Would you stand? Jeremiah, could you go back to that first slide where we have the whole, all of Psalm 100? I'm going to pray first. This wasn't planned. I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. So, Father God, we come before you. And Lord, some of us are on a mountaintop. It's great. And some of us are in a valley, and it's hard. But what is constant is that you are God and you are good and you are faithful and you are for us and you are our shepherd. As your believers, as we have accepted Jesus, we are your sheep and we belong. And if you are here in this room or watching online and you do not know Jesus as your good shepherd, if you have not said yes to the Savior, it is not a command. It is not a burden. It is an invitation to come, to say yes, to say, God, I recognize that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and that Jesus, you are the Son of God who came to save me from my sins. And in your death and resurrection, I have life in you. And it's as simple as that. And if you say yes to that, then welcome. Welcome. Welcome to the family. And if that has been you for years, or weeks, or decades, God, we just affirm that you are our God and we belong to you, Jesus. And in that, we have a good shepherd, that no matter what our circumstance, whether the grazing is good or the cliffs are steep, you are with us and you are for us. You are faithful and you are good. So whatever we come in with today, may we give it to you, and may we give you praise and thanksgiving for all that you have done. Holy Spirit, would you just make us mindful of the little things and the big things, that we would make a practice of giving thanks for what you've done in our lives day after day after day. Because you are constant and you are steady and you are true. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you read with me? Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Church, amen and amen and amen. We praise God because of who he is.